The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stottmiller, with you on this Tuesday, 27 November 2018. I'd like to thank Steve Elkins for sitting in for me yesterday. I was tied up on a telephone literally nonstop for 5 hours. At any rate, thank you, Steve, for filling in for me. And as promised, over there outside of Berlin, we've got Harley Schlanger with us. Hello, Harley.
Hi, John. How are you?
I am doing fine. How's the newborn?
She's great, and the rest of the family's doing fine as well.
Good. Good. You and I spoke briefly about injections for the child, vaccines, and you said it was mandated over there.
Yeah, you can't go to school, you can't do anything unless you have them here.
Hmm. Do they allow homeschooling in Germany?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Now that I did not know.
Well, and they used to have a good education system, but not anymore.
Well, doesn't that sound a little bit like the United States? I mean,
There's a lot in common between the two countries.
You've old to that. I got you there. You're going to be with us for the hour, and I appreciate that. You've still got to get a little bit of sleep at night, and seeing how you're, I take it, sharing responsibilities for the newborn?
Well, some of that, and also there's a lot of things that have to be done with the other two children. We have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and so there's just a lot of work. And on top of that, we've got a world situation that's so explosive right now that I'm being called on more often these days to offer some commentary and some insights. Whether people listen or not, I don't know, but I'm trying.
Well, there are those that want to hear and will listen. And as I had a conversation with a young lady today, I said, there are those that you will tell the truth, the unmitigated, unembellished truth, and they will choose to close their eyes and their ears. They just don't want to know. So, you know, I guess that the idea behind that is you walk across the street and you don't look and a truck runs you over. So I guess you don't have to consider for the brief second that you're still alive the horror that's going to happen. You're just going to let it run over the top of you.
And most people choose to be in a comfort zone of not knowing, because they figure if they try to find out, they don't know where to turn. And if they actually discover the truth of the horrible circumstances we're in globally, they begin to get terrified. So,
well, I want to get into your article here about the China policy and the neocons. And Harley, I don't know if you were aware of this. In the entire history of this country, and I'm talking since we became a country, I'm not talking about revolutionary days or things of that nature, but when we officially became a country, until this day, this very day, we have only been at peace for 4 years. We have been shooting, blowing up stuff, supposedly helping people all over the world. And I'm prefacing this because of your article. Trump just put through a $750 billion budget, military budget. Now, people might think that, oh, well, that's going to go for ships and modernization of planes and all that good stuff. Well, let's not forget the bill that's due every year for the 900, let me repeat that, 900 bases that we have around the world. Being the world's policeman, which I guess gives them license, or at least the illusion of license, to go interfere with everybody and everything on this planet. And the one thing that became abundantly clear about your November 23rd article on Trump's China policy is that the United States is going to keep pushing the military edge of this. Now, this makes other people on this planet insecure. So what do they naturally have to do? Well, we have to counter what the United States is doing. This is what broke the back of Soviet Union under Ronald Reagan. He got out the checkbook, borrowed from the bankers, and we were basically doing a one-upmanship with the Soviets until they finally threw up their hands and said, we give up. We can't do this anymore. It ran them to bankruptcy, basically, in the Soviet Union. But Harley, we have this never-ending checkbook here in this country that we can keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. We can't let the empire fail, even though what we once were, we are no longer, only by illusion.
Well, actually, John, I'm writing an article tonight that takes up the second part of what you're just bringing up, which is that we cannot keep borrowing and borrowing, that the proverbial chickens are coming home to roost. You know, it's interesting. In 1983, when Ronald Reagan proposed the Strategic Defense Initiative, and he initially proposed that it be jointly shared between the United States and the Soviet Union, because, you know, people have the wrong idea of Reagan. They think he was a warmonger. He actually believed that peace through strength means your goal is peace, not strength, but you need strength in order to get to the point of having peace. So Reagan brought in Lyndon LaRouche to negotiate with the Russians on the SDI. And the Russians told LaRouche, we think it's an interesting idea. We think it might work, but we're not going to go along with it because we see it as an effort by the United States to develop a capability that they could launch a first strike and then prevent a retaliatory response using Star Wars. So this was a break point in the Reagan administration where the Reagan was trying to get a deal through. Now, what's interesting is that LaRouche, after the Russians said they weren't going to do it, LaRouche said within 5 years, the Soviet economy will collapse. Well, it took 6 years. But now what LaRouche is saying is that what we're doing, what Trump announced, what the Congress voted up, the $750 billion, and that's the official defense budget, at a moment of economic crisis, the breakdown of the physical economy, we're just seeing now GM cutting back. We see many manufacturing companies not reviving. This is a disaster. If we continue to think that we have an unlimited checkbook, we're going to find out that you eventually run into a limit.
Well, and that's the limit that was reached during the 2008 banking crisis. The bells and whistles started going off because of their mortgage-backed security. Now, they could have contained that, but it kind of got out of the box. And at that point in time, when it crawled out of the box, it could not be contained. That contagion.
Well, the decision was made to defend the bankrupt banking system, mm-hmm. the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury, combined to offer somewhere between $13 and $25 trillion in bailout money. You know, the TARP funds, the $700 billion, was just a drop in the bucket. With quantitative easing, with guaranteed loans, with things of that sort, the banks were given huge volumes of free money, the big banks, which they made available to their blue-chip corporate clients to buy their own stock. So we have a stock market bubble, a corporate debt bubble, and a collapsing infrastructure and physical economy underneath it.
Isn't that interesting? Because China and Russia, they're not doing the same thing. Now, are they modernizing their military? Yeah, within constraint, within budget. But primarily what they're doing is reinvesting in their infrastructure, because guess what, Harley? They see it falling apart. Here in the United, here in the United States, we'll build a new battleship or make the new X-plane or whatever the hell it is, and the United States be damned. Now, a couple of years ago, the figure was floated around that the infrastructure of the United States, just for repair to get it back to safe standards, and that's roads, bridges, you know, water treatment plants, the infrastructure. And this was, as I said, a couple of years ago, they figured it was around $3 trillion. Now,
it's more like $6 or $7 trillion if you really want to do something. I mean, look what happened in New York City last week. 5 inches of snow and the whole city shut down. You know, 20 years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
No, they would have had salt trucks out. And people in New York are very good at dodging big, heavy moving vehicles. They have been all their lives.
John, I hate to do this, but my wife is gone today, and I hear my 4-year-old who's been having nightmares. Can you give me a couple minutes to get back to bed? I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. Just put it on mute. Just put it on mute, and when you pop back in, you pop back in.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was a first. I've never had a guest have to go tend to a did you say 4-year-old? 4-month-old? Well, it's 4-something, at any rate. Yeah, some of the stuff that we're discussing here, I mean, folks, I have been posting stories about General Motors. And General Motors, well, they kind of didn't tell the whole truth. You know, nothing but the truth. Well, they just didn't tell you the truth. General Motors and General Electric were both victimized by the same Ponzi scheme, and they're both telling us the U.S. economy is in huge trouble. Yeah, huge trouble? Well, I'll get into this in the second hour in more detail, but a couple of weeks ago, I told people that General Motors was going to possibly lay off 18,000 people. Now, they initially said it was white-collar, and they'd asked 4,000 or 5,000 people to take an early buyout. No, the story's evolving. It's going to be 10% of their workforce and 5 plants inside the United States. Now, having said that, Trump is threatening GM, hey, you're getting bonus money here from the government for your self-driving vehicles and electric cars and all that. I think he's trying to strong-arm GM into saying to them, you know, layoffs, last-ditch attempt. You know, we got to keep the economy going. Well, General Electric, which was at one time, folks, one of the richest corporations in this country, is literally bankrupt. So all the icons of manufacturing, you know, the roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty kind of people, the people that actually made things of value to sell into the marketplace, pretty much gone. Ford Motors already come out and said, yeah, we're going to quit building cars. Maybe we'll hold on to the Mustang, but we're just going to build trucks. Okay, until the next gas spike and gas is at $3, $4 for whatever reason, doesn't matter. And you're driving a truck that only gets combined highway city of something like 21 miles to a gallon. This happens every time. Have you driven by the used car lots when the gas prices go through the roof? What do you see? Big vehicles, big gas suckers sitting there. So this is cyclical, and it's going to keep happening. But this time around, while the government's telling us, oh, unemployment's at 3.7%, the economy couldn't be stronger. There's more blacks and Hispanics back to work than in human history. No, it is not. And there are still roughly 85 to 90 million people in this country without work. Hello? So how in the hell does that equate to 3.7% unemployment rate and the biggest boom in the economy this country's ever seen? But what really disturbs me is the collusion factor in all of this. Who's telling you the truth? You'll have Fox Business and the financial shows giving you maybe a glimpse here and there. There might be some trouble, but they'll just go on and talk about the next stock to buy. And I think this is bottom. Now it's buy time. It's gone down so far that you can't lose by betting on a loser, hoping it's going to go up. The individual out there, folks, as Harley alluded to, these are not individual stock buyers. These are the people that have been loaned the money to buy their own stock back. Now, that has a couple benefits to it. One of it limits their exposure. You know, buying back stock in a market, it's kind of expensive unless you have the extra cash in which to do it, and which they got. And what does that give you? It gives you a false impression of how good the company's doing. Look at this.
Oh, hey, John, I'm back, and I just wanted to interrupt you to make a point.
Yes.
The CEOs, their bonuses depend on the stock. So the extra benefit for them is that they not only get bonuses, but they all have stock options. And so as the stock goes up, they make a fortune, and they're the first ones to jump out when they know the stock's heading back down.
Well, and it's interesting because retirement accounts, I discovered it in Pennsylvania, the government there was taking a lot of the state pensioners and they were buying Facebook. Okay, you buy Facebook stock, but Facebook is pretty much starting to take a dump here. And it's been, some of it, Harley, has been self-inflicted by their policing to get rid of the extreme people on commenting on their websites and posting what one, you and I would consider to be eye-opening and something of the truth. We have been scrubbed. We've been deplatformed. Yeah. And in a time where that's what you need, people just to calm down, give them some facts. Once they understand the severity, the first identifying the problem, the severity of the problem, then you start to work on solution. But these, Harley, this government and these corporations are walking through the graveyard, rolling their eyes, whistling Dixie, like nothing is happening.
There was a very interesting article on Bloomberg the other day where they quoted a top stock analyst for a major investment banking house who said, well, look, we will have to pay the piper sometime, but I think we've got another year before that'll happen. And so essentially, you know, you talk about whistling through the graveyard. Their view is that, first of all, they're going to make all the money they can in the short term. Secondly, when the thing pops, they're looking at the fact that the government will have little or no option but another bailout, even if it means that in order to do that, they have to have savage austerity in every other area of the economy, which means there will be no infrastructure. It means the farm sector will be devastated. I was just reading an article about the fact that the farmers are agricultural people are committing suicide at twice the rate of military veterans.
Well, and people were complaining, oh, Donald Trump, you know, the him with his trade war with China. And what was the story that hit the circuit out there was, oh, these poor soybean farmers, they're having to store their soybeans in shacks and their silos are overfilled and some of them are even burying their beans in mine shafts. And I'm looking at this and going, wait a minute. China and Russia have outlawed genetically modified stuff. They're not importing it. So it was floated as if, well, these farmers are suffering because of Donald Trump's embargo on China. China didn't want the damn beans, so they gave us the beans. They said no. And you're right. Bankruptcies. It isn't because of Trump's trade policies. I'll go through the figures in next hour, folks. That's one of the things I wanted to cover. But you've got bankruptcy after bankruptcy after bankruptcy. You know, I don't even want to get into the 70s and how much the farmers took on as debt. And what did we see 5-7 years later? Auctions, and they're auctioning off all their stuff and losing their farms.
Well, and the key is that this idea of corporate farming, which destroyed the family farmer, you know, the most efficient farmer ever in world history was the American family farmer. And besides genetically modified crops, it's these gigantic commercial slaughterhouses that destroyed the capability of family farms to survive.
Simply amazing. Well, you got 3 minutes to do a double check there on your little one.
Okay.
We're talking with Harley Schlanger today, executive intelligence review writer. By the way, you surprised me with Lyndon LaRouche in there with Ronald Reagan. I did not know that, talking to the Soviets.
That's why Robert Mueller was deployed against LaRouche.
Uh-huh. Bobby is such a nice man, isn't he? Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Front Sight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be, been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy.
Oh yeah, it's all gone a little crazy. Most of the same people are coming to Texas. Some go to Germany and some go to Florida. No, I'm just teasing there, Harley. What, by the way, what is the attraction with Germany? Why are you there?
Well, there are a number of reasons, but one of them is that my wife wanted to finish her degree as an architect.
Okay.
And we couldn't afford architecture school in the United States.
Oh, God. What? No student loans? No.
And we're living in a beautiful city, Potsdam, which has the classical revival from the early 1800s. So you have absolutely beautiful buildings, the ones that weren't destroyed during World War II. And on top of that, we have a LaRouche movement in Germany. And we're very much involved in trying to bring the kind of awakening that occurred in the United States that elected Trump to Germany. And you can see it's actually moving. The Merkel government, which we've talked about in the past, has a very short shelf life right now. The only question is, will there be something better than Merkel that could come out of it?
Well, Ed, the Bilderbergers are involved in picking the next choice for Chancellor of Germany, so I think that'll pretty much give you the answer of there's not going to be a savior in Germany.
Well, the main opponent for Merkel right now is a man named Friedrich Merz, who is a Christian Democrat, who happens to be a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Atlantic Council, the German chairman of BlackRock Investments. So you're right. I mean, he is not a very good person. But there's a backlash to him because, look, people in Germany realize something, which is that the German economic miracle from the 50s and 60s, which continued up until the first decade of the 21st century, has not only slowed down, but it's gone off the road. The productivity is dropping, and Germany's economy was based on constant upgrading of engineering and machine tool capabilities. The auto sector is under attack. You know, there are parts of Germany now, after they pushed this diesel fuel as the solution to global warming, now they're saying it's not the solution. And about one-third of Germans drive diesel-powered automobiles. There are parts of Germany where you're not allowed to drive diesel cars right now, by law. So the country is a little bit crazy.
I have been in Germany. I lived there for a while. And the one thing about the German people, they're industrious. They worked. Yeah. They worked hard. At times during Oktoberfest, they drank even harder than what they worked. But there was a sense in Germany that I had about the, we used to call them comrades, and that's really a direct insult because going back to Germany and communist Russia days, no, they didn't like that term. But the sense that I got in Germany is they were quite happy, working hard, living hard, drinking hard, whatever. Harley, it was completely different. And you're right, what World War II didn't destroy, it's like picture postcard time going through the little hamlets and villages in Germany. If you have not been to Germany, folks, and especially there are pretty parts of the United States and then there's not so pretty parts. But in Germany, it's all kind of nice and head down to the south, going into the mountains down near Austria. It's astounding. It's jaw-dropping, the beauty of it. And I've always admired the German people for what they are and how many times they've had to rebuild. And they're still at it, except one thing happened on the way to back to prosperity. We have Angela Merkel and the gang that they're trying to...
You know, it goes back, but it goes back before Merkel because you've had more or less two parties, the Social Democrats, which are nominally a socialist party, and the Christian Democrats, who I would say are nominally Christian. They've been in a coalition for most of the last 20 years. And right now, they're having their lowest returns in elections in history. The Social Democrats in the last national election had the lowest returns they had since the Bismarck days in the 1880s. And the Christian Democrats continue to collapse. So we're seeing something interesting also. It's, you know, you talk about Europe as a whole and people don't know what to think about with the European Union, Germany, France, are these nations, are they giving up their national identities? The people don't want to give up their national identities. They still identify as Germans or as Frenchmen or Italians. This whole artificial anti-sovereign movement called the European Union is destroying Europe. It's ironic because they say we need more Europe, but what they're providing is more London, more Wall Street, and more bankruptcy. And so you have a rebellion all across Europe. In Italy, the Italian government is probably going to break from the European Union at some point in the next couple of years.
Or they'll cast it off because of the debt that they keep reincurring, and the IMF is not going to continue to bail these guys out.
Well, and the Italian situation is interesting because Italy is actually a very modern industrialized country in the north, but the debt they have is constantly increased by the European Union.
Kind of funny how that works. England wanted to break wide with Brexit and get the hell out of it, and Theresa May has, well, made some secret deals. We're still not privy to all the details of the Brexit agreements.
But it's not Brexit.
Exactly. We'll break. Harley Schlanger is my guest. 3 minutes, and we're going to skip the last break to keep Harley on for about a half hour.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, Teddy, what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There's been a study done recently, Harley, that just rang my memory bell there, that Alexa and these little talking devices, people are comfortable, well, not so comfortable, but they're taking the defeatist attitude that there's no protecting anything anymore, so what the hell, let's just go with it.
Well, I think that's one of the problems we have. There's a defeatism, which is against the traditional spirit of American optimism. And this is what has been created by the last two administrations, the Bush administration and the Obama administration. Trump came in with an intention to change it. You know, it's interesting. You know, people blame Trump for the war in Yemen, which started under Obama. You know, people blame him for still being in Afghanistan. He's trying to get out. Then the CIA and the military are saying we can't. But here we are in a situation where what people voted for, many of the people who voted for Trump did so because they didn't want us to be in endless wars. You mentioned this statistic earlier that We've only been at peace for 4 years.
Yeah.
The irony here is that the so-called peace movement from the Vietnam War, the are now 70-year-old Democrats like Schumer and 80-year-olds like Feinstein who are pro-war. They're completely taken over by the neoconservative outlook. And unfortunately, so are most of the Republicans. But the American people aren't. The American people are tired of war. They're tired of being taxed to fund military operations. You mentioned, 900 bases around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing so many good young people, not just the people killed in wars, but the people who come back who are profoundly destroyed by their experience.
Still averaging 22 suicides a day, Arlie.
Yeah. And you can see why, because they're going to places that are barely habitable, and they want to make a difference, but they're not in a position where they can do it. And the way you make a difference in these countries is you don't go blow them up.
Well, and see, this is what's been sold. These are not warriors, although they kind of look like warriors. They're dressed in warlike uniforms, and they carry warlike materials, and they do warlike things. But it's been pawned off on the American people that, well, we're there for humanitarian reasons, or we're there to help them, or there's a political unrest in the country, and we're going to go over and back the wrong guy. I'm sorry, the right guy.
And this is the biggest fraud that's been perpetrated. This is the so-called responsibility to protect, which is the doctrine of Hillary Clinton, Samantha Power, who was the UN ambassador under Obama, Susan Rice, the idea that we're a unilateral force for the good, and what we want is what countries should do. And so if a country like Libya or Iraq start thinking, maybe we'd be better off if we weren't tied to the dollar. Maybe we'd be better off if we didn't get our marching orders from Washington or London. They're destroyed. They're no longer acceptable. Whereas a country like Saudi Arabia, which is as brutal a nation as you find on the planet, has become an American ally. Why? Because they do what we want them to do.
Well, and they specifically do what Israel asked them to do. And after all, we're joined at the hip with Israel. And I still haven't discovered the reason why they're so important to us in the Middle East. It seems that we're serving their purposes, not the other way around.
Well, the whole operation that established Israel was actually run by the British Empire for geopolitical purposes. And they were conveniently found a place in the Middle East where they could create maximum chaos. And virtually everywhere the British were involved from the period of the 1880s up until World War II in the Middle East, they created countries that couldn't work based on ethnic, tribal, religious differences. And we're still paying the price for that. And the biggest price is Israel, because the Israelis, the leadership, the present leadership of Israel, the hardcore Greater Israel faction around Netanyahu actually believes that the Bible is a contract from God to Greater Israel, a real estate deal, basically. And the Greater Israel should stretch from the Nile to the Euphrates. And, you know, there are people who live there and have lived there for millennia who don't agree with that.
Yeah, just ask the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole thing, and to what benefit? You know, I mean, Harley, I guess you could say in one form or another, there's always a silver lining no matter what the scenario. But I keep searching for one with this conflab of the United States and Israel, and I see none. I don't see any advantage whatsoever. They have taken over a political system in this country. They've pretty much taken over the broadcast and the narrative that is on the airwaves of America. And I just do not understand. Now, a lot of people in this country hardly understand that, you know, hey, dealing with Israel, it's a no-win scenario. The endless wars in the Middle East, going on 18 years now, we've been in the Middle East. For what reason? Right from the start, with the yellow cake lies and, you know, all the weapons of mass destruction. And
John, you know well, because we've discussed this before, it goes back before that. It goes back to the decision made by people like Kissinger and Brzezinski and George Herbert Walker Bush to get involved in Afghanistan. And who did we support in Afghanistan? Osama bin Laden, the jihadists. We backed them. We armed them. You know, a poor fellow Texan, Charlie Wilson, congressman, was used by the Bush crowd where he thought he was doing good. He thought he was raising money to provide weapons for freedom-loving people. And it turned out that the so-called freedom-loving people were Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Well, and so, it was interesting that the Taliban saw the poppy fields in Afghanistan as being a detriment and not an asset, and they wanted to get rid of the opium production over there. What kind of terrorists are they?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and in fact, the areas where you have the most opium poppy production happen to be the areas under British military supervision, which is not surprising if you go back to the 19th century and read the studies of the opium wars that the British ran against China from India. You know, you see that this is a constant, you know, geopolitics, the idea that you have to carve up countries so they can't function as legitimate nations. And then over the top of it, you superimpose some form of world government or world institutional organizations which take away the power of nations to make decisions. That's British geopolitics. And it's financed through drug trafficking, gun running, financial swindles. You know, it goes back to things like BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, which was the leading drug runner, drug laundering bank in the 1980s, early 90s. The case against it was covered up, by the way, by FBI director at the time, Robert Mueller, when BCCI broke as a scandal in the early part of the new century, 2002, 2003. It was Mueller who covered it up. Now, I wanted to go back to this question, though. You said you were surprised by this. Reagan brought in LaRouche because of LaRouche's expertise on this idea of an anti-missile defense system. And Reagan liked the idea. And at that time, Kissinger and others, Daniel Moynihan, who I'm sure you remember, wanted to break Reagan and they wanted to break LaRouche. And the British sent a memo, British intelligence, MI6, sent a memo to William Webster, who was FBI director at the time, saying that they had evidence that LaRouche was working for the Soviets. And who ended up taking the case against LaRouche? It was Robert Mueller.
The same guy that's still looking for the connection between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
Exactly. He was running the original Russiagate against LaRouche. And when all the so-called evidence was thrown out by the judge in the first case in Boston, they changed it completely. And LaRouche ended up being convicted in 1989 of one-man conspiracy to defraud the Internal Revenue Service. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it sure does. Before we run out of time here, and the scenario here, folks, let me just lay this out, that making war against countries we shouldn't be making war against is good for our economy. Forget world peace. Forget the maybe possible escalation. Maybe you have somebody that has an off day that decides that, well, we're militarily losing against the United States or vice versa. Hey, we still have the big red button to push. This whole thing with Ukraine, which has been rife with U.S. involvement since they put the chocolate maker in there. Now the Ukraine is thinking about, and this is the insanity of it, Ukraine is thinking about declaring war against Russia, hoping the United States has got its backside.
Did you ever hear of something called the breakaway ally scenario that was originally drafted for Israel, which is that Israel would start wars that would force the United States to come in to defend them?
You wouldn't. You don't. That that can't be going on right now in the Middle East.
Well, that's the Ukraine situation, exactly mm-hmm. the same scenario. Mm-hmm. And the importance here is that Trump genuinely has stuck to the idea that he wants to work with Putin and work with Xi Jinping. He wants to work with Putin against terrorists. Now, how can Americans be opposed to that? Well, Brennan, the former CIA director, Obama, worked with the terrorists. They protected the terrorists. They armed them. The Al-Qaeda and ISIS networks were assets of this, of an element of the CIA. And when that was exposed by Michael Flynn, that signed his death warrant. Now, Trump came in and said, look, the Russians are doing a pretty good job against ISIS and Al-Qaeda. We should work with them. Well, that breaks up the whole geopolitical game in the Middle East. And that's what Russiagate is all about, to try to prevent Trump from sitting down and talking to Putin. And when he did meet with Putin in Helsinki last July, and one of the topics that they took up was, how do we make sure we don't have a new arms race? Well, that goes directly against the needs of the military-industrial complex. So what we see is this continuous attack. And now that Trump is scheduled to meet with Putin in a couple of days in Buenos Aires for the G20 meeting, what do we see? A new Ukraine crisis. And I heard today Trump say, well, maybe he's not going to meet with Putin if it's true that the Russians are provoking this. Well, the Ukrainian Navy sent three ships into an area that they knew was designated as Russian space. And they provoked a crisis.
That would be like us with one of our warships getting out of the international water and going into the buffered area. I think it's still 13 miles off of Russia's coast. That is to be considered an aggressive act and possibly an act of war. Everybody on this planet understands this.
Or if the Russians sent three warships into Norfolk, Virginia.
Exactly. Same scenario.
Yeah. So, and Poroshenko, the chocolate billionaire who runs Ukraine, is at 8% in the polls with an election coming up in 3 months.
How's he going to start a war against Russia with only 8% of the population's backing?
Well, you know, he tried to push through a martial law decree that would go up until the election. And even the crazies in the Ukraine parliament wouldn't give him that because they want to get rid of him. So they're going to have a one-month martial law, which means you're going to have neo-Nazi forces in Ukraine marching through the streets with guns and marching toward Crimea, marching toward the eastern region of Ukraine, the Donbass. And it's designed to force Europe and the United States to turn more aggressively against Russia. And what I wrote about in the article that I sent you is that the threat of peace is what's driving people like Brennan and Comey and Clapper and Obama. You know, there's never been a more warrior president than Obama. You know, he looks like a twerp. He acts like a weakling. But behind the scenes, he was responsible for extending these wars, including the 400,000 people who died in Syria. It's not Assad who did it. It was the provoking of a civil war and the arming of terrorists by the United States and by the British.
Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, everybody had a sense of this, that finally we have a president that's going to sit down with a guy that has basically transformed Russia, the old Soviet Union. That was a cancer that ate at that country and its people and its culture for a very long time. Vladimir Putin comes along. He is very well liked by his people. He has done many things in that country that the people themselves have given him accolades. They love the guy. There is another thing that Vladimir Putin, once he did this, it signaled to me that Russia is not necessarily the bad guy that the American press and the military is always trying to paint him as being. And he said to the World Banks, the hell with you people. We're not going to play games with you. We don't want your global order of things. And Putin understood who the real deep swamp is. And I Harley, it fascinates me. I think we're finally coming out of this phase of deep state. We had this every other word out of people's mouths with the deep state. And I kept saying to people, these are the sock puppets. These are the stage actors. They didn't write the script. They're told what to say and how to act. It's the truly deep state people that are behind the scenes controlling. And the major interest, and let's never forget, it's about global order. It's about bringing about a one-world style government that robs everybody of their sovereignty, smashes their borders. But it's not going to be a communist form of government because they've already discovered that communism doesn't produce anything but more communism and more death and more disease and less wealth. We're going to give them an illusion, Harley. We're going to socialize. They will all be socialized countries. They'll be given the illusion to be able to earn and spend their own money, but they're going to be taxed at rates that heretofore you think you hated the tax man so far. We'll just wait till you see what's coming.
And who's the beneficiary of this? And this is where you get to the real question. If you look at the free trade agreements, the so-called free trade agreements, they have two purposes. One is to destroy national sovereignty. So no nation can use its courts or its government to protect the interests of its citizens. If you do that, that's called unfair competition. And secondly, the courts that are established to adjudicate disputes are staffed by corporate lawyers who are acting for corporate interests, who maybe they're based in the United States physically, but their power is global. And they don't care for the United States. That's not their interest. And so Trump overturned that. And, you know, with all the people say, well, Trump has neocons, he's got neoliberals. Of course he does. He's got a lot of bums in his cabinet. And not everything he does is good. But the fact that he took on the whole Russiagate story, he took on the CIA, the FBI, the Obama administration, the Clinton crowd, the fact that he broke with the free trade agreements, the so-called free trade agreements, these are things that are absolutely crucial for the survival of the United States. And I think people who are doubting him should, let's see if we could defeat this coup, defeat the Mueller coup, so that Trump didn't have to look over his shoulder every time he said anything about Putin or about how bad Europe is. Maybe we'd actually see what he really wants to do.
You know what? Let me ask you something here, Harley, because you've been around the political block a few times. What would prevent Donald Trump in the middle of the night hopping on the helicopter, flying to the airport, getting on Air Force One, and flying into Moscow to go see Putin? What would be there to stop him from doing such a thing?
Well, a few things. Assassins. The possibility of a coup, and by that I just mean that he could be declared insane by people in his own administration and by the Congress. Look, I'll tell you what I think Trump should do to turn that around to the positive side. He should declassify the documents. There's no reason to hold back on that, which show that the FBI was in criminal collusion with British intelligence, the CIA, and the Obama administration to disrupt an election. It wasn't the Russians. It was the Obama administration, their intelligence community, and the British who tried to make sure that Hillary Clinton was elected. Why? Because she was the candidate of Wall Street and the military-industrial complex. Now, if Trump would do that, I think you'd find the American people would quickly rally to support him. But if he, in the dark of night, flew over to Russia, what they'd say is, he's defecting. He's going back to his puppet master. We can't trust him anymore with security of the United States. So as long as you have corrupt, immoral, lying media, he can't do that. He's got to fight it in the open. And he's fought some of it in the open, but not effectively enough.
Well, he keeps up at this pace, and he's expending a lot of energy defending and trying to deflect rather than going ahead with his quote-unquote agenda. It's going to wear this guy out rather quickly, and there's been some speculation. He's he apparently is going to run again for president in 2020, and possibly, and I just love how these stories just pop out of nowhere, Nikki Haley is going to be the vice president, because after all, don't we need a woman vice president?
Yeah, a crazy woman.
I'm worse than that. She was already a detractor against Trump, and he appoints her as UN secretary, which was beyond the scope of even, huh? Yeah, people were snickering at Nikki Haley when she would get on her high horse in the UN. There were people who were sitting there burying their face in their hands to keep people from saying that they were laughing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, you know, he's made some bad choices and some bad decisions, but I think we've got to look at the big picture and fight for that big picture. We've got to defeat this crowd that's behind the coup against him, because whatever problems Trump has, they're nothing compared to had Hillary Clinton been elected, had Obama had a third term, you know, had this intelligence crowd around Clapper and Brennan been allowed to stay on. We probably would have already been in a nuclear World War III. So ironically, with all his problems, Trump has done some good. He hasn't fulfilled what he said he would do. Well, part of that is up to us, to the American people. That's why I do what I do. I'm committed to getting out an alternative picture of what the United States could be as a premier physical economic producer. That's what we've got to get back to.
We build it once, and we can build it again. We know how to.
Sure. And we still have that spirit in the American people. And if people would like to get more from me on what I'm saying, and I've received many emails from your listeners, and I appreciate them, write to me at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll get you a link to my blog, and I'm putting out a weekly article. Doing a lot of interviews, and I think it's material that the American people need to think about, to digest, and to then go out and fight for.
Before I let you go, you brought Hillary Clinton up, the Clinton Foundation. They seem to be kind of trying to pick a sweet spot and narrow the investigation into the foundation. If they would pull the lid off of this one, it would spin the heads of the politicians for years to come, make the coup that's taking place and has been taking place in this country for a very long time. And in my estimation, Harley, it would grind it to a halt.
What do you think they're afraid of?
That's why they're going.
That's why they're on the offensive, because for them, the only defensive strategy is to change the subject and be on an offensive.
You know, one of these days, Harley, I want to have you on as a guest. It's 2 a.m. in Potsdam, Germany right now. Go get some sleep. I'm glad the child quieted down. Hopefully the child will get a good night's sleep as well. But one of these days, I'm going to be bringing you on this program to exalt and, well, just tell people of the great strides that mankind is making, taking this world back from the murderers and the outright criminals.
Well, let's keep fighting for that.
Absolutely. Still here, still doing the same thing. Harley Schlanger, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, John. Good talking with you again.
Good. And we'll see you again next month?
Yeah.
Very good, sir. All right, folks, got to go top of the hour break here. That's Harley Schlanger, harleysch@gmail.com. He'll be happy to send you his weekly column.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.